Welcome to Facilitating the Mission, the podcast of Shepherd Staff Mission Facilitators. My name is Brian Mondot.
And my name is Jeff Jackson.
Hey, Jeff. You know, it was a really interesting talk that we had last time about re-entry.
Yes.
And we really talked a lot about it from the man's point of view. And maybe today we can do something a little different.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea because, you really see the differences, the way God's wired, the differences between men and women and how God's wired us, even in the way we respond to coming back to live in our own culture. And so we see things from a certain perspective that our wives do not.
As you can see, I have the charming and beautiful Susan in the studio with me today.
Hello, Susan.
And I'm going to go ahead and put her on with you, okay. And you guys can talk about re-entry coming from the field from a woman's and a mom's and a wife's point of view. How's that sound?
That sounds perfect.
Awesome.
Well, hello, Susan.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing good.
Good. Well, thank you for being willing to sit down and, you know, tackle a subject that, you know, is really important, a lot of times neglected, and I think even, as you know by experience, neglected a lot of times for women, moms and wives that have made that transition back to the States. So much of what's out there has to do primarily with guys, and with that different way we're wired from ladies, we sometimes miss things. And so I appreciate being willing to answer some questions.
Hey, no problem.
Yeah. So as you have been thinking about this probably in preparation for us talking, as you reflect on your transition back, what were some of the major things that caught you by surprise about your return back to life in America?
I think the whole experience that you experience out in the mission field, that when you come back to America, it seems like America's kept going, mm-hmm. but you haven't been going along with it.
Mm-hmm.
Your friends, family, church life, everything has kept going. But your life hasn't. So you feel like you're really disconnected mm-hmm. with the things that have kept going without you.
And when you were feeling that, what were some of the things that produced in you? What sort of motivations or lack of motivations did that create when you were feeling that disconnectedness?
I think it made me feel like I just needed to isolate myself because mm-hmm. I felt like nobody else could understand what I was feeling or going through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of true because they couldn't. They didn't leave the United States. They have no clue what you've experienced.
Right.
So it's. I felt like I needed to isolate myself.
And in your particular case, were there other women that during that season that took the initiative to connect with you, or because of your specific circumstances, you just weren't able to have contact with them?
I wasn't able to have contact with them.
Okay.
It was really hard.
Yeah. Okay.
It took a while. It just takes a while to readjust because it's me that has to readjust, not them.
Well, that's a really good point. Now, did you know that at the time? Is that what you were thinking about at the time? Like in a sense, the burden's on me to make the adjustment here? Were you seeing clearly enough at that time to recognize that?
Yeah. Yeah. I saw clearly enough to recognize that, you know, so I started make myself go to ladies ministry, trying to get reconnected with everybody. You know, and everybody wants to talk to you and, you know, talk about the trip and how it was and
mm-hmm.
why we're back and all those things. And it was just, mm-hmm. I don't know, it's just you have to try to explain things to people that mm-hmm. you can't really explain because they haven't experienced it.
Right.
So it was different.
Right. And then what sort of impact did that have, say, on your relationship with Brian? Did that create stress in your marriage? Did it drive you closer together? How did you feel like you could walk through it together with him?
Well, him being a man,
yes.
And it was all about going back to work and getting right back into it. I think he had a easier time than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because here I am home with the kids again. I have to set up house. I have to do all these things by myself. Bad enough I'm isolating myself, but him, he goes right back to work, right back mm-hmm. to the same people that he was with.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a little harder for me, and it was okay for our marriage. I think the only thing that bugged me is Brian's the type of guy where he's like, you just have to get back into it and make yourself go and make yourself talk to people and mm-hmm. make yourself, and that's not me.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of like you had to make yourself do that.
Right. Describe what it was like trying to, you know, reset up a household in America after having, you know, sold everything to get over there and then left everything behind over there. Now you're back in America. You've got to restock your house. You got to reset up your household. Describe what that was like.
That was a little hectic. I did have a couple of boxes of things I did keep at a friend's house. Mm-hmm. Important stuff, like kitchen stuff, because I knew if and when we came back, that's where a lot of the cost would be. Some of it was fun because I got to go get new furniture, and, you know, every woman loves to do stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But it was an adjustment.
Right.
But it was a good one.
Okay.
Setting up house.
Did you have moments like I've heard from a lot of different wives and moms where, like, going into Walmart and just having so many choices, so many selections, was it kind of overwhelming?
Yeah, it is a little bit, because when you're out in the mission field, you just get what you get.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was kind of hard that way of choosing, because mm-hmm. there is so much out there in the stores and stuff. But it seems to me personally that I think I got back into the shopping really easy.
Okay. All right.
You know.
Now, when you were preparing to come back, when you were over there in Africa and you're thinking about reestablishing life back in America and you're looking at your kids, what were some of the things that were that concerned you about the transition back and its impact on your kids?
Well, I thought it was going to be great for the kids because, you know, they're kids and they right. bounce back from things so easy. Mm-hmm. But I think Aaron did better than Charity. Him being a little younger and a boy, he was able to get back with his friends and, mm-hmm. you know, the youth group and church group. Charity was a little more difficult. Mm-hmm. I think she was thinking she was going to come back and all her friends were going to be the same. But when you're out in the mission field, you don't realize that something in you changes a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So you go back to the friends, it's just not the same anymore, but it's you that's changed, not them.
Mm-hmm.
So Charity, I think, was thinking she was going to get right back into life, and mm-hmm. it took her a little while to get readjusted.
Right, yeah. And were you able to help her through that? I mean, do you feel like you were a source of encouragement, you know, for her? Or, you know, if you could rewind and do it again, would you do some things differently?
School-wise, I probably would have, because mm-hmm. we had a hard time with the state of Florida wanting to give her the credits for the year of homeschool that she did in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't prepared to test her when she came back to the United States. I wish I would have known those things before we came back, because that made it tough for her to get back into school. They couldn't give her the credits, and that means she wouldn't graduate with her class, and it was going to be really difficult for her. So we did the best we could, mm-hmm. you know, took her out of school, and mm-hmm. what we did was we got her involved with the GED program.
Okay.
Because that was the only way she was going to be able to graduate
right.
with her age group. So we did that for her.
Okay.
So we tried to encourage her that way.
Right, right. So if you were, if you had the opportunity to sit down with another missionary mom that's about to make the transition back to the U.S., you know, what are some of the pointers that you would give her?
I think it would be take it slow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't rush back into life thinking everything's going to be the same, because it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I would just encourage them that they have to have patience, mm-hmm. and to realize that disconnect, that you've changed, something's changed in you,
mm-hmm.
and it's just going to be a little bit different. And I notice a lot of people coming back to America as missionaries, I don't want to say you're judgmental. Mm-hmm. It's like a judgmental attitude,
mm-hmm.
where you look at America and people so differently, mm-hmm. that you really have to guard that, mm-hmm. because you don't want people to think you're a little more superior because you're out in the mission field. Because
mm-hmm.
I've seen people do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that can really hurt you personally trying to get back into life in America.
Okay. Besides being aware that that's a potential mm-hmm. danger of, you know, sort of copying an attitude about life here in America, are there any practical suggestions that you would give to somebody to help them not slip into that mindset?
Oh, that's a hard question.
That's a pretty hard question. Yeah. Yeah.
Because I know it was hard for me.
Yeah. So how did you, what helped you out of it? What helped you out of it? Was it, you know, more time in prayer? Was it you know, more time in the Word? Was it talking it through with Brian? What were some of the things that helped you when you started to go down that path?
I think prayer and just realizing that God has us at all different places in our seasons of life, you know, and to accept, well, that's where he had me. Maybe that's not where he had you. And to accept that, not be so judgmental about that. Oh, I went and did something. But yeah, definitely a lot of prayer.
Right.
Okay. To get through that.
Was there, and again, you may not, it's been a while since you got back, but, you know, were there a couple of key scriptures or truths that helped you through the reentry challenges after you got back? Were there any biblical truths that sort of you hung your hat on?
You know, it's been so long.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I'd have to go back to my journals.
Okay. Yeah, because one of the things, you know, personally for us, and I think it resonates with my wife too, when we came back, was the whole idea of from Psalm 84, you know, verses 5-7 and Hebrews and stuff, the idea that we're pilgrims, you know, and that it was our pilgrim mindset that made it possible for us to move to the mission field. And if we didn't maintain that, you know, as we got back home, quote, home, life in America, you know, we it would be really easy to slip into cynicism and be jaded about life and culture here. Yeah, and then do you ever, I'm sure you do, but the talking with your kids about their, have you debriefed with your kids about what they experienced in coming back and sort of help them unpack it?
A little bit. My kids are not very vocal about things they go through until like years later.
Okay.
They'll come tell me, hey, this and this and this. You know, it wasn't until a little while later that, you know, my daughter shared with us, you know, about the hard time she had coming back and reconnecting and the school issue and the regrets that she has that she had such a bad attitude being on the mission field because she missed her friends and she was that awkward teenager, you know, and but yeah, she shared with us some stuff afterwards. But it took her, I think, a while to realize she could have been more of an impact and she missed out a lot because of her attitude.
Right. Yeah, and I think there's a real lesson to be learned in that whole idea of sometimes it is, you know, trying to process something when you're in the midst of it is really challenging, and sometimes it's better to wait a little bit before you try to unpack what you've experienced. And I know that's kind of, you know, that's kind of contrary to the mindset of, if it's been a traumatic event, you know, the thing you want to have them unpack that as quickly as possible after the event. But I think in a transition like this back, yeah, sometimes there's more clarity of thought, more honesty, more ability to articulate, you know, what you experience if there's a little time that has passed. Yeah, very good. And now, have you, since you got back, I mean, do you, have you been able to connect with other ladies that have been either former missionaries or that you could sort of, is it easier to share your missionary experience with ladies now?
Yes.
Than it was then?
Yes, a lot. Okay. Because, especially with other missionary friends, it's so much easier because they understand and, you know, they love being in a different culture and you're able to share that experience together. But yeah, I love talking to people about our experience out in the mission field.
Yeah, great. Okay. Well, do you have any final, you know, any final thoughts, any words of advice for a returning missionary wife or mom that, you know, just you want to just say, hey, listen to me, you know, I want to share this with you?
I would say, like I said before, take it slow.
Right.
Reconnect with your friends. Try to get into a Bible study. Just try to get back to life the best you can.
All right. Well, great. Well, thank you, Susan, for taking the time to contribute to our podcast. I'm sure as it gets out into the, you know, into the net and into the world, that there's going to be a lot of ladies and guys blessed by hearing it. So thank you for taking the time. God bless you.
Thank you, Jeff.
Okay, bye-bye.
Try to get this guest untangled. She doesn't know her way around the studio.
All right.
Isn't she a charming interview?
She is charming and beautiful. And I was trying to think, when did you guys get back? What year was it?
2003.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's been a long time for us. We got back in 1993, but it's still real, and especially because I swim in this world of dealing with missionaries all the time.
It stays on the surface.
It stays on the surface, and you have different perspectives on things, you know, as time passes.
It definitely becomes a defining part
absolutely.
Of who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. It's part of your life inventory that God has stocked you with. And it's like, I don't know about you, but there are times, you know, where, you know, I mean, we spent 5.5 years there. And sometimes it seems like we were never there. Like, did that really happen? And then other times it's like everything that has happened since has been influenced by that. And it's just weird. It's weird how God does that.
It's a heavy topic, you know, and even just listening to my wife share her side of it, you know, she said that she would have to go back and look in her journals to answer those yeah. questions accurately. And that's I think that's one of the things that was just super helpful for her, was just working that all out in her journal. She really didn't have a mechanism of debriefing other than just friends saying, hey, and our church situation was very, very community oriented. We stepped back, even though we missed some things, we stepped back into a very welcoming community, mm-hmm. people that loved mm-hmm. us, people that knew us. Yes, life had passed us by. Yes, new things were happening. But for us, it was a healthier situation, and I think a lot of people get this step. We felt very, very mm-hmm. fortunate and privileged. And since we came mm-hmm. back from Africa, we went into missionary status
right.
for 5 years
right.
here in the States, working for, you know, doing what we do in ministry. And that community continued to be supportive, even though they didn't understand
right.
what I was doing and everything about my job. They knew that, you know, God had called mm-hmm. us to this, and they were always part of helping mm-hmm. us be successful mm-hmm. in missions.
Yeah. So they were, even though they couldn't relate to the experience, they were loving, affirming, accepting.
Yeah, you know, they had a healthy attitude about missions. They know that God's called some people to go
right.
and some people to send. And they saw themselves as sending, even though they didn't totally know
right.
what going meant. They knew that their part was to send. They were going to support us and affirm us. At one point, we were
mm-hmm.
their missions
mm-hmm.
project. You know, just because of the size of the church was
yeah.
at the time, it was like, you know, our family was
right.
their missions outreach.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's a blessing.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To learn more about becoming a missionary with Shepherd Staff, go to ssmfi.org/join. Connect with us on Facebook or Twitter by searching @ShepStaff on either platform.